Development Alternatives for Women for a New Era, OIDON, is a network of feminist scholars, researchers and activists from the economic south working for economic and gender justice and sustainable and democratic development. This recording is done by Dawn as a way of sharing its feminist critical analysis of the global environment through the voices of women from the south. Other recordings are available for download at www.dawnnet.org and may be used freely following proper citation. Dawn Podcasts, the voices of women creating a just world.
I'd like to say that I'm extremely delighted to be here, to be invited by Dawn to do some work with you. Dawn, I've known many Dawn friends for a long time, Sonia, Gita, Gigi, and I always admired you from as an outsider for being extremely, the most creative network, women's network in the world, as well as the most inspirational. So thanks a lot for inviting me, and now I'm moving to my speech. Actually, I was asked to work on human rights, in particular women's rights, and what I've done, which probably it was not necessarily what I asked to do, but this is something what I felt I could do. So I've done a review of what's going on as far as human rights implementation is concerned at global level, and also I'm giving some ideas what we should be doing with that, although this part of my paper is probably not that developed. I hope for our discussions, so that may help me to give more ideas and while finalizing the paper. Since I was working on the paper, I didn't done a PowerPoint, so bear with me. Basically, I'd like, especially for those who maybe are not that involved in human rights and women's rights debates, as a starting point, as a reference point for me, it will be a decade of big UN women's conferences, in particular Vienna Conference for Human Rights and Beijing Conference on Women and Cairo Conference on Population and Development. In those conferences, women played a very important role in bringing in, actually conceptualizing women's rights much further than they were recognized before. So the issue, the major thing from Vienna, it was the recognition that women's rights are human rights, that violence against women is a violation of human rights, recognition of sexual reproductive health and rights with less emphasis on sexual, more on reproductive rights. These certainly are achievements from Beijing, from Cairo, and Beijing went a little bit more on those. However, we know very well, those of us who were there and were fighting for these provisions, that we didn't achieve what we wanted, but we were optimistic at that time that we might move forward much sooner than we expected. However, what we faced a couple of years ago, especially in the Bush era and 9/11 hysteria, the process of further development of human rights has been stopped, and women's groups have been somehow pushed into very unpleasant position of holding the line of not allowing to lose what we've already achieving with less chances for moving agenda forward. So, and actually since then we face this problem to great extent. So I think that one of the provocative questions that might be asked at this point is the framework of human rights still relevant for women's rights, or what could be done in order to go further than that? So when I was working on this paper, I was surprised myself, because when I started to work on it, I think I was somehow on more negative side. I thought that we haven't achieved much. It's very there is not much happening. But when I was sort of reviewing what's going on, I must say I sort of moved into more optimistic side, that there are things that have been achieved since. They haven't been maybe that visible, but in terms of implementing what has been achieved, there are some significant successes which we have to take into account while we are thinking of the future of human rights framework. So let me just give you a couple of examples. Regarding abortion issue, if we look globally, we can see a great victory in Nepal when abortion law has been revised. Then you have Colombia. It's another country where it was an extremely spectacular change of abortion law there. Since then, there have been also some changes in South Africa, Ethiopia, Mexico, federal district regarding abortion. In Europe, You can see that the law has been also liberalized in countries like Switzerland, Portugal, and currently the process of changing in Spain. Then also another dimension of some progress that have been made in terms of the implementation, I would mention what's happening at the UN. Although it's not happening everything what we would like to, but there are certainly some things that we should be recognizing. And that have to do with the institutional mechanism established by the UN to monitor human rights, which are treaty monitoring bodies. And I must say that as far as these treaties are concerned, all of them are extremely sensitive to women's rights, and over these years, treaty monitoring bodies managed to integrate women's rights with sexual reproductive health and rights in particular, into their monitoring processes. And that you can see on the number of examples, such like general comments. These are the comments where the committees are using for the governments, how they should be preparing their reports. And then also in the monitoring processes. Let me just give you one example of those, what I'm talking about. So, for example, the Committee on Children's Rights has adopted a general comment on adolescent sexual health, which I think is an extremely powerful document. There are numerous general recommendations given by the committees to the countries how they should be implementing human rights at the national level better. So Poland got very good recommendations on abortion, same with Ecuador and many countries. There is also another mechanism, very important, there are special rapporteurs. I would like just to mention specifically rapporteurs on health and rapporteurs, and the rapporteur on health and rapporteur on violence, which really push the governments to implement SIHR commitments and obligations. You could also mention, when you look at the agencies, for example, WHO has adopted a very strong document on safe abortion, which I think it's important to remember as a certain standard set for governments, what the government should be doing in order to improve the situation regarding abortion in the countries. So that's one very important part when we can observe certain progress. I would like to move to another dimension, which has to do with NGOs, how they are using human rights standards in their work. And I would like to mention primarily litigations, which have been taken up by numerous organizations in the world. So I would just name the case of Peruvian woman KL against Peru, which was the KL was forced to continue pregnancy in spite of serious fetal anomaly, and this case has been brought to the Human Rights Committee, and actually the case has been won. A Polish case that has been referred in my bio, it's a case of the Polish woman who challenged the Polish government to the European Court for Human Rights on the basis that she was forced to give birth to the third child, although she was legally entitled to have legal abortion and even under very restrictive current Polish legislation. Of course, litigations have their limitations, such as you have to have a woman who is going to go to the court, and it's not easy to find, and actually it's not also nice to sort of wait for a good case, meaning the woman was suffering of something in the past. Second thing, that the human rights mechanisms usually deal with the existing legislation, so their power is more in implementing the law to the full extent rather than changing the law, although I must say many committees went far beyond, first of all, in recommending the governments the legislative revision, but also in sort of such reinterpretation of these provisions that they are, I would say, even go farther than what is really written in those documents. Now I'd like to to go further and also, and now maybe again to move to briefly what's happening in 2000s and in terms of human rights in a situation, and we know that it was not a good time for us. 21st century is not a good, hasn't started well for women's rights. At the UN level, what we had MDGs, Millennium Development Goals, which due to the fact that they focus primarily and on the basic needs of the most vulnerable in the world, they lost a lot of the human rights dimension. But of course, many NGOs, women, including women's groups, get involved with this program, and they succeeded in sort of mainstream many of women's stuff into MDGs. But certainly, it's not what we dream about. Now I also would like to mention a very important body that has been reestablished by the human by the UN, which is Human Rights Council. This is a new body which has a lot of potential in moving forward human rights, but from the monitoring this body quite closely, I'm speaking about my experience, we see that this is not going probably as quickly as far as we would like to. Let me just mention to you one mechanism which maybe some of you have used or will use in the future, which is Universal Periodic Review. This is a mechanism which deals with monitoring on how human rights are being implemented globally. This body, however, this problem, this body has a certain problem which deals with the fact that this monitoring, unlike human rights committees I was telling you about before, is carried out by the governments. So this process is highly politicized. You can sometimes very easily preview what the government, what a given government was going to say about the country under review. So it's definitely, it's not perfect. However, this is the mechanism and we have to observe and use to the full extent. But one thing I wanted to mention, which I think is a major success recently carried out, made by the Human Rights Council, and this is the adoption of the resolution on maternal health as a human rights issue. I think women's groups have been fighting for a long time for that, and that last September. I think that this is very important resolution that women's groups are going to use in their work to push for women's health and also for all kinds of reproductive health and rights issues. Now I wanted to briefly to brief you about the debates which are going on human rights issues globally for many years, and that has to do with the main principle of human rights, for the foundations of the human rights. The foundations of the human rights are that human rights are universal. It means that they cover everybody on earth, no matter when they live and what they do and who they are. And universality has been challenged from the very beginning by the conservatives. By conservatives on the basis that they challenge that they don't reflect cultural differences, and we know very well that culture has been used very often to justify a lot of violations of women's rights on the ground. But interestingly, universality is being challenged by some feminists on the basis that the universality means that you basically don't specify who you address the human rights. So you talk about generally about people, about individuals, but you don't see the world in diversities of economic diversities, sexual diversities, and all that. So just quickly, I think this is important debate, and actually this is something which I hope we can have some debates on here while we are here. Just very briefly, let me mention again European regional mechanisms. I know that you are not based in Europe, but a lot of things which are happening in Europe, fortunately or unfortunately, have an impact also on developing world. So I wanted to mention one, I think first statement made by the Human Rights Council on abortion, which I would like to quote here, although it's not binding also in Europe, but let me read what it says. So the Parliamentary Assembly affirms that the right of all human beings, in particular women, to respect for their physical integrity and to freedom to control their own bodies. In this context, the ultimate decision on whether or not to have an abortion should be a matter for the woman concerned, who should have the means of exercising the right in an effective way. So this is a great statement, and even if it's not binding in Europe and it's not binding even more in your part of the world, I think that quoting it could be useful. Also because all these human rights instruments, they use a lot the achievements of others. So, for example, UN is using a lot in their justification of their decision, European Court for Human Rights. So they are all interrelated and sort of push the boundaries from different sides. So now I'm moving to the final part, which basically has to do with what I think could be what we could consider doing. But actually, before moving there, I have to mention two resolutions, other resolutions of the Human Rights Council, which unfortunately are not very progressive, and we have to look at them because potentially they carry on serious drawbacks regarding human rights. There were two. One resolution is a resolution on defamation of religion, and the other one is the resolution on traditional values. Both of them, the first one on religion basically establishes religion as something which should be protected by the UN rather than as it used to be so far, protecting individuals to express their religion values. So now the UN has to protect religion from being defamed. And second one, which certainly is trying to push the direction to draw the attention from human rights as universal into the understanding that cultures have a very important role to play, and they should be looked at as the human rights foundations. And although the resolution at this stage is not that serious, it potentially, since the UN now has to do work around this resolution, may push us backwards. And now just at the very end, let me just draw your attention to the beginnings of the human rights. And if some of you are aware, covenants have been developed in the 70s, there has been a big controversy about what the human rights are, and which ended up that we have like two covenants, one which deals with civil and political rights, and the other one with economic and social rights, and social and cultural rights. The world governments could not agree to have one convention, so finally they decided to have two conventions. One of the effects of this division between rights is that we have vast majority of governments treat civil and political rights as main, as core rights, as real rights to be implemented, and social and cultural rights, economic and social cultural rights, more like soft rights, more like recommendation, rather than hard documents that should be implemented. And now, in the context of what we were talking about the crisis, I think we will have to look at human rights also from this perspective, how economic rights of the populations are being implemented and what the government's obligations are in this respect. So one of the ideas for us to consider may be, I mean, this is a very fresh idea, is to try to connect both these concepts of human rights maybe that could somehow move agenda forward. My response to the original question, which was, are still human rights relevant? Yeah, my answer is yes, it is very much so. Of course, it's not perfect, but we should be trying to to use it and push it forward in many different dimensions. But also we should be considering other frameworks. We are a very good historical moment, which is, as far as the UN is concerned, the Beijing process is finishing this year, Cairo process has finished last year, MDGs are finishing this year. So there is a time for some global plan, global framework, that's for sure. But I think that we should concentrate on how to make this new framework, if it is going to be developed, will be in compliance with human rights. And we also should try to put human rights within all these debates very high on political agenda. Without that, we probably will move forward in the direction I was describing, which has to do with implementation by non-political bodies like human rights committees. It has a lot of potential, as I said, but it also has some limitations. So I would call for repoliticization of human rights of women. Thank you very much.
For more information on the work of Dawn, do not hesitate to contact us. Our email address is info@dawnnet.org.